I invite you to be seated for the reading of the Gospel this morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent." Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see now?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now that he sees. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah will be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Now when Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I might believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. The gospel of the Lord. You're pretty happy that we sat during that gospel, I'm sure. It's a long story, but a great story. My name is Andrew Steele. It is wonderful to be with you this morning. I serve as the director for global church sponsorship at the ELCA Churchwide office. This is a program that works on raising awareness and securing funding for our missionaries. We have 75 missionaries, long-term missionaries, serving around the world, one of which your congregation very generously sponsors. We also work on behalf of the Young Adults and Global Mission Program, which is kind of the Lutheran Peace Corps, if you will. We have 84 young adults currently serving in one of 13 countries around the world, living in community and living with Lutheran churches around the world. We are also part of our Global Ministries Initiative, where we are supporting evangelism projects that our companions are doing around the world. And finally, our last program is the International Women Leaders Initiative, which is a scholarship fund for Lutheran women from around the world to come and attend our ELCA colleges and universities. Again, I want to especially say thank you for your sponsorship for Dorcas Wang, who is serving as a missionary in Beijing, China. The ELCA, our church, is the last denomination left in all of North America that does not require our missionaries to go and fundraise their salaries. And that's only possible because of congregations like yours. And why that's important is because then our missionaries can live in community and walk alongside our companions right away without worrying about where the funding is going to come for their salaries or expenses. And so that's a very special thing. And I actually received an email from Dorcas just a couple days ago. She heard that I was coming to this area and visiting here, and a colleague of mine is actually up at Edmonds Lutheran Church this morning, who also sponsors Dorcas. I just wanted to share this quick email with you. Hi, Andrew. Greetings from Beijing. I want to thank you for your partnership in God's mission and fellowship in Christ Jesus. I appreciate very much for what you do, traveling to different congregations to thank them on my behalf. I do know, without my supporters, both congregations and individuals, faithful support in both prayer and finances, I would not be able to do the ministry each day here in China. I thank God for all of you, together serving our Lord Jesus Christ, Dorcas Wang. So thank you. And I'm also thankful for this beautiful corner of the country, the Pacific Northwest. I live in Chicago, and I'm from New Jersey, so very different from where I'm from. But just a couple days ago, I had the chance to go on a hike in the foothills of the Cascades, like an hour and a half north of here, with a friend. It was his 29th birthday. And this hike was incredible. There were waterfalls all throughout the hike, and the water was just flowing heavily. You must have had a lot of rain lately. There was a rushing river beside the trail the whole way, and that constant hum of water flowing over the rocks. It was gorgeous. And what was supposed to be a leisurely kind of nice stroll through the woods actually turned into a 10-mile hike. With the second half, basically as soon as we turned around to head out of the woods, it just started downpouring. So I felt like I had a really good experience in the Pacific Northwest with very soggy socks, my pants, everything. I was drenched. But I loved it. I loved it. It was beautiful. And for me, a lot of times when I'm in nature or doing things like that, I have a lot of God moments, I say. And it hit me during this hike, actually, the power of relationship. So Josh, my friend, who's actually sitting right over there with his beautiful wife, we met when we served as young adult and global mission volunteers in South Africa 7 years ago. Josh from Minnesota, me from New Jersey. Without that experience, without the church providing that opportunity for us as young adults to serve, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have been in their wedding 2 years ago. I would not have a brother in Christ. And so I'm so thankful for that power of relationship. That experience for me really changed my life, put me on a new career trajectory. I knew I wanted to serve the church after that experience. And even for me as a PK squared, I don't know if anyone's familiar with that term. Both of my parents are pastors, so they probably never thought I'd end up working for the church. But it really, this experience grounded me in my faith, and it allowed me to question the world, my faith, and I created friendships with people halfway across the world. It was kind of my go and wash experience. The power of relationship, of accompaniment, makes God's work possible. The ELCA's model of doing mission globally, we call it accompaniment, where we are walking hand in hand, side by side with our companions, learning from each other, sharing in mutuality, not telling, not doing, and not evangelizing people. We are there to learn and to share in community. Accompaniment is being lived out by Dorcas in China, by our 80 young adults currently serving all the way around the world, from places like Cambodia to Costa Rica and everywhere in between. And because of this, we are able to do so much more together. As our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, says, she has four emphases for us as the church. We are church, we are Lutheran, we are church together, and we are church for the sake of the world. So how has God called us into being church for the sake of the world, being church together? This year, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. This is an amazing time in the history of the church, in the history of the world. Who are we going to be for the next 500 years? Are we ready to give thanks for the past and live into a new future? How are we being sent? In our gospel text this morning, relationship and accompaniment are integral to the blind man and Jesus. After the blind man could see, he lived into relationship with Jesus. He became a follower. He started defending Jesus' work, even to the Pharisees, giving voice to Jesus. And there are many things that we could take away from the story this morning. Things about sin, about blindness, both literal and metaphorical. Miracles, about how societies divide themselves, about how people are sent out as an outcast and marginalized. Yet the most fundamental part of this story is when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And more, this story is meant to demonstrate that we can be people of that light. We are sent to be people of the light and sent into the darkness. So where is there darkness in the world right now that could use some light? I'm sure we all have places that we've been to or can think of, whether our local communities or around the world, that could use light in this troubling time. But one place where the ELCA is currently focusing our efforts, I want to share with you, and that is South Sudan. South Sudan, the newest country in the world, gained their independence in 2011, but shortly thereafter started a civil war. Because of this conflict, millions of people have been displaced, and just recently a famine was declared in South Sudan, not because of natural causes, but simply because of the conflict and the war. The ELCA, because of the power of relationship and our ability to accompany those living in South Sudan, recently launched an appeal. An appeal that we want to help those in direct disaster relief for the famine. We want to also fund food security programming so that we can avoid something like this happening again in the future. And we also, a year and a half ago, broke ground and started the construction of a Lutheran center and clinic. This is important because this Lutheran center will launch the Lutheran Church in South Sudan, becoming the newest Lutheran church in the newest country in the world. And this clinic will serve women and girls and be the only fistula clinic in the entire country, serving hundreds of people in the community. You're doing this. You're making this possible. We are making this possible by being church together. And I was there for the groundbreaking of this Lutheran center. And when I asked one of our missionaries there, I said, "What do you have to say back to the ELCA, about to folks who, pastors and people in our congregations, what would you say?" And he said, "Tell them that the church is not dying. Tell them that the church is like a tree in different seasons. And right now, maybe the church in Africa has leaves on it and fruit, and we are being born and growing. And maybe it might be fall or spring or even winter in some parts of the United States where you feel the church doesn't have leaves on it. But it doesn't mean that it's dead. It's just changing in times." And I thought that was powerful. And so they are doing things differently there. We have to be different as well in the way that we serve and go out and help and serve our brothers and sisters. We have to get outside our comfort zones. So without the power of relationship and accompaniment that we've learned from Jesus in many ways, the walk to Emmaus or even just the time spent with his disciples, without that, we could not be where we are. We are able to share the good news, let those suffering know they are loved by God and that there is purpose in their lives. We are, after all, the God's work, our hands church, are we not? We are the evangelical Lutheran church in America. It is time to share the good news, to get outside of our comfort zones and to do it differently, to live into community. Jesus is the one who says, there is something you can do for me. The man born blind becomes a vocal advocate for God and a defender of Jesus, the light of the world. He now dares to step beyond the barriers and others created for him. Did you know that the largest growth in the Lutheran church in the world right now is in Africa? There are more Lutherans in Tanzania than in the United States. There are more Lutherans in Ethiopia than in the United States. There are more Lutherans in Indonesia than in the United States. The church is growing. There is life. There are leaves on that tree. We are doing it differently. And so there's something that we can do for Jesus. If the blind man could do God's work so effectively, what are we being called to do? What barriers are we willing to break down so that people like the blind man could be granted personhood? How can we become advocates for inclusion rather than exclusion? When we lived in South Africa, there was a saying or a way of life that we learned from our communities, hard to define or to translate, but basically the word Ubuntu. Ubuntu means I am because we are. So I am only who I am because of the people in my life, my community. Ubuntu, I am because we are. If we truly live into that, if we truly live into Ubuntu, the world is going to be different. Our church will not be dying. It is growing. Our church is growing. It's just looking different. It's around the world. So how can we live into relationship, accompaniment, and support those suffering in South Sudan or Seattle or Chicago? We have been given the gift of baptism, of grace, of the death and resurrection, of sight from blindness. We are called. We are sent. Let us go. Amen.